got some good ones. Thank you very much for that. So the passage that was read for our hearing was from Acts 4, when these men were perceived as unlearned, uneducated men. They perceived that these men must have been with Jesus. So you have, on the one hand, language in the Bible that seems to suggest don't let your education go to your head, or think that education is the end-all be-all. What really matters in ministry is knowing Jesus Christ. You also have language like this in the Bible. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in your scoffing, and you fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I'll make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one heeded. And because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. And then you'll call on me, but I will not answer. You'll seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So the topic that was given to me is, now that you're educated, communicating to all. It's a daunting topic. Karl Barth once said that the minister has two tasks. Number one, you are called to speak for God, while constantly reminding each other, no one can speak for God. Thus he says, quote, we ought therefore to recognize both our obligation and our inability, and by that very recognition give God the glory. Go to the beach and stare at the ocean. What do you see? Surely the vast expanse that captures your eye, from the setting sun to the point where the blue water touches the blue sky, is just a whisper of what's happening below. If I were blind and were to ask you, tell me about the ocean, what would you say? Where would you start? Maybe you'd tell me what only your eyes can see. Would that be enough? What will I ever know about the teeming beasts below its surface and the entire universe that lives below the face of the waters, if that's all you do? Well, maybe then you'd get out a textbook and fill me in on all the wonders of the deep, complete with Latin terms for everything, flora and fauna. If you did that, would I be able to visualize in my mind's eye the beauty of the sunset which you see and take for granted every night? Would I feel the romance of the moment lost in the technicalities of the science? Tell me about the ocean. Do you think a four-year-old could do that? I bet he could. He could tell me about the ocean for hours. If a marine biologist ever loses that sense of wonder and awe that I feel when I hear the four-year-old tell me about the ocean, then I'd say he not only lost his senses, he's lost the ocean. But what would happen to the world if all we knew about the ocean is what the four-year-old can tell us? What if the whole world were blind and you were given the obligation to tell them about the ocean? I think preaching is like that. The ocean, a place that is deep enough for whales to live and shallow enough for children to play. The ocean. If you were to take just a small piece of it, the part that you know, and over 20 years, retell and retell and retell the part that you know,
Would it be valuable? Yes. Would it be helpful? Yes. Would that part that you see and that you know be a terrible loss if it was not told? Yes. But there's so much more. What if you were given the past to tell the world about the ocean? What will you lose the more you learn? What will you lose the less you search? I want to give you just a couple of seed thoughts from a young, foolish, unexperienced preacher. What I'm trying to say is choosing me to speak on this was a really dumb idea. Here are my ideas. Number one, if you want to communicate to all, never forget where you came from. Geographically? Yes, geographically. When Madonna began to speak in a British accent, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Never forget where you came from. By the way, nothing against British accents. As you grow to learn and understand, don't quit being yourself. I am amazed at O'Neill Tankersley. I don't know if you know this. Those of you who have ever gone to Africa with O'Neill, tell me that O'Neill can talk to anybody in their original language immediately. Not just the language, but the dialect. Not just the dialect, but the topics of conversation. Just like that. But when I talked to O'Neill, I never would have guessed it. Because O'Neill sounds like O'Neill. And I would bet you he sounds like O'Neill sounded when he was 25, before he learned the languages. Don't forget where you came from. God made you who you are, the way you are, and needs you to be that way. Don't forget where you came from. Doctrinally, don't forget where you came from. The number of people who go to school and forget. Forget the folks that have been praying every night for them. Forget the money that has put them through. The people who graduate and could not go back and preach a sermon, much less live a life at their home church. It's appalling. Could you spend the rest of your life preaching for the people who brought you here? Mm-hmm. Could you go home to your home church? If you can't, you missed it. Mm-hmm. Don't forget where you came from. Number two, in order to be relatable, it is important to be transparent. We all know the problem with the preacher is always above them routine. Some of us have seen it. PK is always taught this way, preacher's kids. We remember the fighting in the car and then the dad turning to us and saying, put a smile on your face, we're about to go inside church. Which I thought was so hypocritical until you're the preacher. You got folks in the car that are acting up. And that line makes such good sense. I once heard a preacher say that he felt like a failure when it came to his family. He thought that his wife and children were wayward, and he thought it was his fault. Within 5 minutes of telling me that, he then told me what his scheduled sermons for the next 6 weeks were. It was called Tool Time, Tools for a Successful Family. And I said, are you sure you're up to that? And he said, well, I'm just going to tell him what the Word says. It doesn't really matter whether or not I've lived it. It does matter. Look, it matters in ways you may not even realize. One, it matters that you've lived it because the preached message must be a lived message first. Mm-hmm. But number two, if you haven't lived it, the transparency in acknowledging you haven't lived it may in fact be the word that God needs you to preach that day. Mm-hmm. I will always remember. I was in class last semester. We were running out of things to talk about. I still had time on the clock. And I don't know why I did it. I really don't know why. But I told my class that I'm going through a divorce. Some of you may know that, some of you may not. It's very painful. I don't know why I told them that. I felt very vulnerable. After class, and I said, guys, sometimes when you go through difficulties, especially very emotionally traumatic difficulties, just getting out of bed every day is a success. Mm-hmm. And one of the students came up to me afterwards with tears in his eyes and said, how do you get out of bed? The student, whose wife had left him, had no idea there was a teacher who would understand him. And I had no idea there was a student in that situation. Transparency makes you vulnerable, but it also makes you ministerial in ways you wouldn't realize. The easiest way to guard against pretense is to tell it like it is. Transparency can be a way to allow God to do His work and to let others see the work God is doing in you and through you. Number three, to be most relatable, may I suggest that we be less creative. To be most relatable, let's be less creative. Creativity is overrated. We have the most creative Lord who gave us the most creative work. How can we improve on that? The need to package things usually is a sign that what's in the package isn't worth having. Think about it. The emphasis should not be on what we disagree about, what we fight about, what some people somewhere, usually in Germany, thought about something at some point. What was the line? Paul, maybe you had a teacher say this, I don't care what Voltmon, Casemon, somethingmon, or any other mon thinks about the gospel. I care about that. May I suggest that what is clear and pure and pristine ought to be heard? Because people are dying on the vine, and they need a message that seems so simple, and we ought to preach it. In a market-driven world, tailor-made to the latest fads, old is the new new. Think about it. I don't know what it's like. Lawrence, I don't know what it's like to be an African-American student. I don't know. I don't know what you hear when I say something. I don't know. I can try. Paul, I don't know what it's like to have all the experiences you've had. You know, to be a well-respected, seasoned, senior professor who has a history here at Harvard. I don't know. I can try. I have absolutely no idea, Corey, what it's like to sit in one of my classes. It must be unbearable. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if I want to say something that will hit all three of these fine people, I could try my best to be as creative as possible. Don't we all try? But I want to tell you something, maybe you've heard this before, and I think it's profound. If you want to preach Bible things to people, regardless of their background, to as many people as possible, how about this? Try calling Bible things by Bible names.
Amen.
And how about if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
Amen.
It just may be that what God said and the way God said it may be the perfect way.
Amen.
To share the message.
Amen.
I heard a liberal Methodist say that last week, and I thought that was absolutely right. Number four. And lastly, remember that you are God's spokesman. I've mentioned the importance of transparency. Now let me tell you that transparency is overrated. If it means, try your best to be one of the guys. Please hear this with a grain of salt. It's okay if you disagree. You can be wrong. That's fine. It took me a while to come to realize this. The need to relate usually is more of a psychological need on our part than a requirement for the preacher. The gospel will do its own work. Sometimes the desire to be one of the guys depreciates the high calling to which we've been given. In the Old Testament,
while God did believe everybody in some way was a priest, after all, it's there in Exodus, right? There was a select group of people known as the Levites. I suppose they could have thought of themselves as better than everybody else. I hope not. But to think of themselves as no different than anybody else would be to misunderstand their God. They were Levites. They had a job to do. In the New Testament, I believe in the priesthood of all believers. So did Paul. Paul was not shy to pull the apostle card when he needed to. And may I suggest that in our churches, and in our own lives, in our dorms, in our families, recognize the high calling to which we have been called. We are not called to talk a better game than everybody else, but we are called to walk a better walk than most. This is Paul's teaching to Timothy. Pay careful attention to your life and your doctrine. We're called to be men and women of God. We're called to a holy office. I know doctors who have the God complex, and I don't like it. But do you know why they have the God complex? Because every single day in their schools, they're told, you have the power of life and death. And some misunderstand it. I would like to think that while there are preachers who think of themselves as better than everybody else, which is wrong, I'd like to think that that comes from being told over and over again, you have a holy office. You have a high calling. If we lose that so that we can be one of the guys, we miss the point. God calls preachers sometimes to be better than that. Not better than them. Better than that. The need to please. We're called to preach the word. You know the old saying in the military, the few, the proud, the Marines. Would to God we go into ministry. Not because we can't think of anything else to do.
Amen.
Not because we pride ourselves in not studying.
Amen.
We go into ministry because we consider it the most important job mm-hmm. to which we've been called.
Amen. Yeah,
you're called to communicate to all. That means there can be no prejudice, whether skin color or educational level or background effects. But what are we called to communicate? A message from the Holy One. The pure, unadulterated message of life that pierces a dark world, breaks open the shackles that weigh us down, and sets people free. People matter too much to lock ourselves into ivory towers or to get lost in the language of academia. But God matters too much to peddle our wares on the corner, shopping our message around, cheapening it with every man's psychobabble, and selling to the lowest bidder.
Mercy.
Buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
Get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. You say you're educated? Get more. There's never enough when it comes to mining the deep things of God. Get more. But give generously. Stay grounded. For what good is the salt if the taste is unfit for the palate? On the other hand, what good is it to call it salt when it's nothing but sugar? The Word of God is too great to be thought of as common, but the Word is meant for the common man. Figure this out, and you'll be ready to be what my Bible calls a preacher.